Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
If you want to be open, I'm not going to be married to you. I'm not going to participate in that. But I was like, I love you enough to compromise with you. If you move out of this house, I will give you up to a year to casually see other people away from me and figure out if this is what you really want. If you come back and say, yep, that's not for me, then I was like, we can work on this.
Will this marriage survive a trial non-monogamy period? Well, you know what podcast we're on. Welcome to a new episode of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says she kicked her wife out after she said she wanted to explore polyamory, but that wasn't the end of things. But if you're wondering where these crazy stories come from, I take submissions from a form in the episode description, so you can head on there if you want to submit something, whether it's your own story, a friend's story, something you've seen on social media, or just somebody you want me to DM because you're kind of curious about it. So be sure to head down to the episode description to submit something. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, our interviewee thought she was helping her wife discover what kind of relationship was right for her, but it led to a betrayal that she never anticipated. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week we're shouting out the Georgia Coalition for Domestic Violence. They are envisioning a Georgia free of DV. They empower survivors and the programs that serve them, educate the public, and advocate for responsive public policy. For more details, head on down to the episode description. So this is a fun submission. I actually got tagged in a video on TikTok, but this time it was from the creator. Like sometimes people will tag me on TikTok videos and I'll get in touch with somebody. But this creator was like, listen, I'm putting out the story, but if you want to chat tea, ask details, all the things, like I'm down to come on. So of course we got connected, but this story blew up. She starts the video by saying, this is the time that my wife cheated on me with my hairstylist. And I was like, oh my God, I'm obviously fascinated. And when I found out that the story was going to involve non-monogamy, I instantly had like my ears perk up because that adds a layer of things too, like cheating and non-monogamy. Like those two things typically don't go together because obviously like if you can be with multiple people, things can be a little bit more gray. So I'm like, how do we get to this betrayal? Well, let's get all the details when we break down this week's breakup.
So I was 22 years old. We met on Tinder. I technically almost swiped left because she wasn't like exactly my type. And she was clearly a musician, which I'd had like bad experiences with in the past. So I was like, I don't know if I want to go down that road again. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. There's something that I see. So she said that she was 29. So I was 22. So she was technically 7 years older than me. And like the first date went really well. You know, we hooked up a few times and like 2 weeks went by where we were seeing each other pretty regularly. And then she was like, hey, I have to tell you something. And she was like, so I'm actually older than I said I was, because I kept making jokes about her being 29. It was like an inside joke with me, like something about me dating older people. And she was like, I'm actually 31. And I was like, well, lucky for you, I like dating older anyway. So it's not a problem to me. But thinking back, it's like really strange because her reasoning was, she was like, I turned 30 and was insecure about my age. And I thought that if I was truthful about my age, people would cap it at 30 and I wouldn't be able to get as many Tinder matches because I would be too old for some people. It's probably something that people should, you know, like a boundary that people should keep, but I digress. For me, it's a problem. I didn't see how much of an issue this was back then. So I was like, okay, yeah, period. Like the older, the better. Like it's all good with me. So she did lie about that. The other kind of complicated thing is she had like just freshly gotten out of a long-term relationship. So she was really upfront about being emotionally unavailable due to like the recent breakup. But of course, in like lesbian fashion, we both developed like feelings really quickly and we were being communicative about this. Like we weren't like playing mind games with each other. Like we would say constantly like, man, I really like you, but we've got to slow down, like all these things. But after like 2 months, we made it official. So we moved pretty quick. And she, as far as her previous relationships, she said that she had cheated in the past, but not with her most recent ex. She was very proud of that. She was like, I've cheated on every other girlfriend I've had, but I didn't cheat on my most recent ex. So I proved to myself that I can be faithful. Because I thought that like maybe I was just going to go my whole life not being able to not cheat on people.
That's horrifying. And again,
probably should have seen that as more of a red flag than it was. But I was like, hey, good for you. Glad you made it those like 4 or 5 years without stepping out on somebody. Here's your medal. Like, so silly. And so she expressed having issues with like addictions and chasing highs and like part of it being due to her insecurities, but she was really trying to change and establish herself and just like be better than that. So these were the things that she was expressing to me. So over the 2 years, you know, we move in together, we get engaged, buy a house, get married, like all of the things happened within like 2 years. And I expressed that like I wanted to settle down and start a family. And she said that she wanted this too. This was part of her being like, I'm grown now, I've changed, I don't want this crazy rock star lifestyle anymore. Like, we're gonna rein it in and I'm gonna do that for you because I like love you so much. Like, you've brought this domestic side out of me. And so as we were going through this process, every now and again, she would get cold feet. Like, we would be talking about our future and she would express like some hesitation, like still wanting to tour and pursue music. You know, she was kind of hot and cold about how she wanted her life to go. And so her verbally reassuring me and saying, yes, I want a family, yes, I want to do this with you, didn't always align with like the action she was taking when she was booking gigs and booking tours. They would take her away for like days or maybe a week or two at a time. So it was a little confusing, but like overall, her as a person, like she's super charismatic. She's like the classic definition of cool. Like when you think about like 80s bad boy with a heart of gold kind of thing, like that's very much the vibe that she had. And so I was very attracted to her aloofness and like her also making me feel special most of the time because, you know, she's very nonchalant about everything, but I'm the one that she picked.
Yes.
And so what I perceived as maturity was really her being manipulative, like trying to hide her flaws by being like too cool for school or whatever. And so me being young and naive, she also helped me a lot. She helped me get out of debt. She claimed that she was committed to building a life with me. And so she was supporting me in those ways that made me feel very taken care of. She made me feel loved. And it was really good for my personal growth. I feel like being with someone who could make me feel safe in those ways, coming from just like, you know, a pretty like disadvantaged background. And so like, I was deeply in love with her, like obsessed with her, thought she was the coolest thing that ever existed. And that's probably why I was so susceptible to when she started kind of like switching up on me. So our relationship was really great for the first like 2.5 years. And honestly, nothing really went sideways at this point. We started getting a little, what's the word I want to use? A little racy. We decided, yeah. So we were very much monogamous people. Like, we always expressed that we like didn't want to open the relationship or anything, which is ironic. But there were a couple of friends that she had, like a best friend, a bandmate here and there who were guys. And traditionally we're not like attracted to men, but every now and again, you know, it's like a cute little moment. And so we both kind of spontaneously talked about this and consented to having like a little threesome moment with two of her friends. So one of them happened once with a bandmate. Uh-huh. And that was like a one and done. It was like fun, silly, like whatever. We didn't really talk about it after that. And then another one was a closer friend of hers and it happened like a handful of times. And we were basically like, oh my gosh, like so saucy, so crazy. But it felt very safe because we can't develop feelings for men and we're not traditionally attracted to men. So there was no danger of, you know, anything emotionally or like morally unethical happening there, like within the relationship.
Right.
So after this, she did bring up bringing in a girl. She was like, what if we like, maybe like if it's someone we both liked or someone who was more your type and not mine. And I stated, I was very uncomfortable with this. And I was like, there's too much room for error there. Feelings can develop, you know, our types are very different. I'm into very like masculine presenting people. She's into like really femme girls. And so I was like, someone's going to lose here. Like, something's going to happen. So she agreed. She was like, you know what? You're right. That would be too much. Like, sorry for even suggesting it. So it was all good. And then we kind of put that to bed and went back to, being on our best behavior, like not sleeping with our friends and like trying to go back to the domestic trajectory that we were kind of setting. So I'll also note that, like, while she definitely acted in ways that made me feel insecure and like kind of unsafe from a fidelity perspective, by like going on tour a lot and maybe being a little flirty with people, in my opinion, like that kind of thing, I was also admittedly kind of paranoid and a little insecure and jealous, like even when I had no right to be. Like I could tell sometimes that I was being like the crazy overbearing girlfriend who was like, you made eye contact with the waitress a little too long. So there was definitely some of that happening on my end as well. And so I can recognize like how my immaturity and codependence probably made her feel like suffocated at times, because I was like too caught up in my own feelings to really see that and practice like more healthy boundaries to like give her the space that she needed and not put that on her. So it was a little bit of both. And so like in preparation for us starting a family, of course, she was trying to manage these bad habits that she had that she picked up from like her rock star lifestyle. So this was like drinking every day, not getting drunk, but one or two beers every single day. A little bit of drug use, nothing like super unusual or hard. And then also a little bit of gambling when the sports betting apps became super accessible. So as this was going on, she would come to me. She would ask, do you think I have a problem? She's like, do you think it's not normal for me to drink every day? And I would say, I actually do think it's maybe not great. I'm glad that you're acknowledging it. I never want to put any of that on you, because normally if you confront someone with something like that, they're going to get super defensive. But it was definitely something that I noticed. And so she would come to me, we would discuss it, and she would say things like, okay, I'm going to get better about this. Don't let me drink tonight. She called them off nights. She was like, I'm going to have an off night tonight. I'll do it like once or twice a week. Whatever I say, don't let me have a beer. I'd be like, absolutely. Like, I can help you with that. I don't mind being supportive in that way. But then inevitably, like an hour later, I would hear her like crack a drink open and I'd be like, hey, babe, remember what you said? Like, no. She wouldn't get angry, but she would get defensive and say, it's just one. Like, I know what I said, but it's just one. It's light. Like, don't. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, like I'm not gonna play that game with you. I know how this goes. This is just gonna turn into you resenting me for nagging you. So, again, when the cycle repeats itself and you come back to me and say, I really need to stop this, I didn't wanna like give up on her or like make her feel bad for what was happening. So, that was kind of the cycle we were in where she was trying to get control of all of that. So, this is now fall of 2022. So we've been together for 4 years, dating for two, married for two. So it's fall of 2022. I'm hanging out with two of my friends, and they're a couple. And I have a hairstylist who I've been seeing recently who was really good friends with this couple. So that's kind of how we all came together, like by proxy. So I randomly get invited to Linda's birthday dinner. Like, as we're all getting closer to each other, I get invited to her birthday dinner and I bring my wife out. So we all go as a group. And the whole time, so Linda and my wife like barely spoke. It turns out that Linda's girlfriend at the time, like one of her partners, because she's poly, my wife and this girl used to be roommates. And so they're like hitting it off, yapping, like talking about sports, while me, Linda, my friend, like we're all kind of doing like the girl thing. While the
But
other
pause. Is
two,
Linda a fake name? Fake name?
Yes, fake name.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, don't
Cool.
worry. She's Linda in this house. Don't worry.
Love it. Okay, continue.
Yes. So the rest of us are kind of doing like the girl thing. And then my wife and Linda's like partner at the time, they're kind of like broing out together, whatever. And so at the end of the night, my wife, we get in the car and she says, I think Linda was hitting on me. And I was like, that's weird, because you guys literally did not speak. Like, beyond you acknowledging that her partner used to be your roommate, you guys barely spoke. I was like, that's so weird. And I was with Linda the whole time. Like, we all went to the bathroom together, we danced together. I was like, that's a weird take, but okay, whatever you think, babe. You think that everyone has a crush on you because you're a cool rock star. Got it. Like, get over yourself a little bit. So after this, we all start getting closer. So now this is like the group that we're hanging out with. So as we're hanging out with them more, you know, we all add each other on Instagram, and like my wife and the other people are, you know, talking via Instagram, like responding to stories and stuff. In particular, Linda, because they both liked sports. And so I would see them communicating, you know, each other's stories and stuff like that. But I was like, that's completely normal. Like, we're all hanging out all the time. Like, it's totally cool. I didn't have any weird feelings about that. And so as this is going on, you know, we have this friend group, we're establishing ourselves, we're moving forward with like the fertility stuff. Cause we're like, okay, we're coming up on 5 years. This is the good timeline for us to start trying to have a kid, because she didn't want to be like too old, cause she's in her mid to late 30s by this point. So as we're inching closer to this domestic settled life, my wife's behavior starts getting a little more erratic. So she's expressing a little bit more that she feels like anxious and dissatisfied, and maybe she's not sure if this is what she really wants. And of course, I'm being very supportive of this, because the last thing I want to do is, you know, force something so big on her if she's having reservations. And so we're talking about these things, and instead of being comforted or I don't know how to explain it. It was almost like the more we spoke about it and the more I tried to support her, the worse it got, which didn't make much sense to me. Like, yeah. I distinctly remember her calling me while I was at work one day, and she was crying and saying that like she didn't know what was going on with her. She felt like something was wrong with her, and like she was just in a really bad place mentally. And this was very unlike her. Like, again, she's not super emotional. She never, you know, she would never call me over something like that. So I was like, she must be on something. I'm like, what's happening? So we talked about it super frequently, and I told her, I was like, you know, the drinking and the stimulants and the gambling that you're only doing like casually at this juncture, I'm like, that really might be taking a toll on you more than you think. You know, there are such things as like serotonin syndrome. You know, when you're taking antidepressants, you shouldn't be drinking in the volume that she does. You shouldn't be taking other non-prescribed drugs. You probably shouldn't be messing with things like gambling that like mess with your synapses. You know what I mean? So I did start to push that angle a little bit harder. I was like, I think you need to go to therapy. I think you need to see a psychiatrist. But she was not ready for that. She was adamant. She was like, I'm not there yet. I can figure this out. Like, I'm strong. I'm smart. Like, maybe if I just scale it back a little bit. So she was trying to self-manage. And I'm like, okay, again, I trust you. I'm here for you. We'll figure this out. Things got really bad in this particular incident. There was some big sports thing going on with basketball. I don't know what they're called, but we had a bunch of our friends over at our house, like watching this game. And she had this gambling method that she thought was foolproof. She was like, if I just do this exact same thing enough times, statistically, it's gonna hit and I will make my money back. But what this entailed was making bigger and bigger bets as you go on. $3 then turns into $9, and then $9 turns into $30, and then $30 turns into $100. And so as this keeps going up and up, like somehow by the grace of God, this game was going terribly for her, and she was getting up into the thousands, and she started to panic. And so instead of doing the normal thing where she always does the same option, she freaked out and was like, well, maybe if I do it the other way this time. And of course, ironically, it would be the opposite outcome. So I don't realize how bad this is until she stands up, goes into the kitchen and grabs a bottle of whiskey and just starts chugging.
My God.
And she tells us, because we're all sitting there having a good time. Obviously, she's stressed, but something happens. And then she says, I lost everything. She was like, I'm out of money. I was like, what do you mean, silly? And she was like, my checking account, my savings accounts, the money I had built up in the other sports apps. She's like, it's all gone. And I was like, how much is this? Like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I had $15,000. And she was like, the bets didn't hit. She's like, I'm out of money. She was like, I will have to cash out my stock portfolio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. the social casino.
And I couldn't even wrap my head around it at this point. And so she walks out the door, like leaves me and our friends in there, walks out the door with this bottle. And of course I follow her and she's pacing up and down the neighborhood, like bawling her eyes out, you know, saying like, I can't believe I've done this. Like I have such a problem. Like this is fucking crazy. Just losing her mind. And so I'm like, hey, this is really bad, but maybe this is rock bottom. Like maybe it's only up from here. And ironically, the next day we had one of our very last appointments at the fertility clinic before we started actually doing the procedure, the IUI. And it was a meeting about our finances and making sure that we, you know, were prepared and knew how much everything was going to be. And she was like green in the face the whole time, like sunglasses on indoors, like so hungover, so despondent. We get out to the parking lot and she starts breaking down again because she feels terrible, obviously. Like this is absolutely insane. So because of this, compounded with the other reservations she was having, she says, hey, I think we need to wait on having a baby. Like I know we're weeks away from trying, but after everything that's happened, how I'm feeling, I do not think now is the time. And I knew it was for the best. I was a little upset, but I was like, you're absolutely right. Let's focus on you feeling better, getting these things under control. Like, let's reevaluate this in a few months. You know, let's see how this goes. So it's now winter of 2022. Things are going really well. Like she's still expressing some like depressive symptoms and is struggling a little bit with like the things that she was addicted to, but she was doing much better. Like we put parameters around her app usage, the drinking, all of these things. So I get another job for like a really short period of time. Normally I was always working part-time, but it was always during the day. And so suddenly I'm working a remote job for like 4 hours in the evening, like a few days a week, like super low maintenance, like nothing huge. And she also worked from home. So we were there together all the time. But while she was on working, I was off having my space, taking care of the house. And then when I was on, she had a few hours to like decompress and kind of do her thing. So that was working really well for us because again, it was that space that she needed. And I was getting used to, you know, having that time apart and like coming to terms with it. So things were going really, really well. And then she, you know, as I'm working in the evening, she's finding things to occupy herself. So she's like running errands more often and she starts hanging out with this old friend of hers. So it's this guy, David. They also used to be roommates. They knew each other in some capacity. And she's like, oh, like David invited me out to go play pool, like all these things. And I had met David before. We had hung out with him and his roommates. Like he was super nice. You know, they had a history, whatever. I was like, okay, that's great. Like, I love that so much. One night while I'm working, she goes out for an errand and she's like, while she's out, she says, hey, I ran into David. I'm going to go grab a drink with him real quick, but like, I'll be back by the time you're off. And I was like, yeah, totally. Like have fun, whatever. So she goes and does that. The next weekend, we're like making plans with our friends, yada, yada. So I'm with the couple who's friends with Linda, my hairstylist. And later that night, we're like getting ready together. And then we're going to hop over to the bar and meet my wife, David, like some of his friends, like again, like the group that we're all kind of getting together. And so while we're getting ready, my wife texts me and is like, hey, like, guess who's coming? Like Linda is going to be here and like maybe one of her friends. And I was like, oh my God, period. Like this is going to be so much fun. So I tell the couple, I'm like, guess what? Like your bestie's going to be there. And the girl in the couple, she's like, oh my God, you know what? Linda was just telling me the other day, like how much fun she had hanging out with your wife last week. And I was like, what? Like, did I hear you wrong? And so I asked her about the days, the times. And it was the night that my wife said, hey, I ran into David. I'm going to go grab a drink. My friend is telling me, no, Linda said that she went out with your wife. Like, did you not know? And I'm like in the middle of like putting my makeup on and I'm like, you're kidding me. So of course, immediately, like I can't keep things like that to myself. I'm like, I'm confronting you with a quickness. And so I call my wife. And she's like, hey, are you guys going to be here soon? And I was like, what's this about you seeing Linda the night that you were supposed to be out with David, who you just serendipitously ran into? And she's like, look, I can explain. And immediately I'm like, I'm about to smoke you. Yell at her a little bit, hang up the phone. The Uber shows up. I'm like, oh my gosh, hey, thank you so much. Sorry, let me take a phone call real quick. And I'm like, hey, you bitch. I was like, hey, girl, what's this about you hanging out with my wife? And she was like, yeah, we hung out last Friday. Like, duh. She told me that you knew about this. I was like, well, I didn't. And she was like, oh, shit. Like, so I got the sense that Linda had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
So we get to the bar, it's super awkward. Like, my wife and I step aside and she is frantically explaining, like, it's not what it looks like. You know, I ran into her on my errand, like I told you, like we ran into each other. And I wanted to get a drink as friends, but I thought that if I told you this, you would get jealous and tell me no. I just didn't want you to like freak out and overthink it and tell me no. I don't like being told what I can and can't do. And she has never expressed something like this to me before. Like, she's almost angry, defensive, like being like, I just knew that you were gonna be a bitch about it. So that's why I didn't tell you. And I was like, that is really hurtful and
Yeah.
unfair because, like, I truly wouldn't have minded, first of all. Like, give me a little bit more credit. And second of all, like, you should trust me enough to tell me the truth and like not lie and do something like that behind my back. Like, what the hell? And so we leave the bar and we're talking about it for hours at home. And she admits, because I was like, how far has this gone? Like, what is happening here? And she was like, you know, I swear we're just friends. Like, this is the only time we've hung out. Like, we only talk through Instagram about sports. Like, it's not that serious. I was just trying to have you not freak out. So I was like, okay, I hate to do this, but if that's the case, please let me see the messages. So she hands over her phone and I look through the Instagram DMs. And again, I know that they've been DMing for like at least a couple of weeks. Like, I've seen the notifications and didn't really think anything of it. I was like, yeah, whatever. So I know that there's been weeks of communication, but when I look at the messages, there's only ones from the past like 2 days. So she's been deleting them. And I ask her, I'm like, so you've been deleting the messages. You know that looks really bad, right? And she was like, I know. Again, like if you saw or found anything, I didn't want you to freak out, but I promise it's all been like totally innocent. So I ask her, I'm like, do you have Linda's number? Like, do you guys text? And she goes, oh my God, no, that would be super inappropriate. Absolutely not. So I'm thinking, I'm like, all right. I want to believe you, but you were the one that told me Linda's coming to the bar. I don't see anything in these messages from today, yesterday about our plans. So how would she have known where to find us? Like, we didn't post it, no one told her. So I have her phone. I look up Linda's name and she has a nickname. So I type in Linda, I type in her nickname, nothing pops up, and then I'm like, "Wait a second." And so I get my phone and type her number in and it pops up under David's name. So
Stop.
she saved Linda's number under David. And so, of course, now I'm thinking about all the times that she's gone to see David lately. Like, it's just getting worse and worse. And so, again, I'm like, you know, this looks really, really bad, right? And she's freaking out. And I'm like, you sit down. Like, now I'm getting mad. I'm like, you sit down and tell me everything right now. Like, I'm not stupid. So, my wife sits down and admits to me that she was pursuing Linda inappropriately. She was like, I did have bad intentions. She was like, Linda has no clue. She was like, at the birthday party, I developed this like weird crush on Linda. I can't explain it, but I've been obsessing over her for weeks. Linda has no idea. She thinks everything is like totally innocent and that you know that I've been talking to her and that we went to hang out. She was like, the reason I wanted to see her that night, she was like, we didn't just run into each other on my errand. I invited her out. Like, I asked her to go hang out. So we
Wow.
didn't run into each other. She was like, the reason I wanted to talk to her is because Linda is Polly, and I'm curious about that. Like, I wanted to ask her about her experience, all these things. But again, I knew if I brought that up to you would freak out. And I'm like, well, now I'm definitely freaking out. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And so she goes on to say, like, the guilt of this, like what she was doing and how she was feeling, is what has been making her so depressed and so erratic. And of course, now it explains everything, like the crying, I don't know if I'm ready for this, because she's, of course, thinking, like, well, do I have feelings for this person? So it's all starting to make sense. But she is adamant. She's like, I'm not even attracted to Linda. She's like, I think that this is because I'm trying to stop all of my addictions. And so my brain is looking for something else to find, like, that high, that thrill, that rush. She's like, I'm not even attracted to Linda. And she's like going off. She's like, she's a little too chubby for me. I actually think that she's annoying. And like, this is someone I'm friends with, first of all. And so my wife is like saying all these like awful things about her, I guess, to make me feel better. But I was like, this is insane. Like, you can't tell me that you had a crush on her and you're going out of your way to see her, but also that you don't think she's all that. I'm like, but please pick one. Like, what are we talking about here? So We finally get through all of this, and I ask her, I'm like, so does this mean you want an open relationship? Are you rethinking the structure of our marriage? And she says, no, I think this is an addiction. I think this was a curiosity. I'm fully in love with you. I don't even like this girl. I don't have eyes for anybody else. This is me just having a weak moment. And I'm like, okay, like I want to give you the benefit of the doubt because I know that she's an addict and I know that she doesn't mean to like do these things. And so I'm being as empathetic as I can. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I believe you. We'll navigate this. So of course I message Linda, tell her that we need some space. Like, and of course she responds to me and is like, absolutely. Like, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'll be here when you're ready. And so I tell my wife, I'm like, you're not talking to her for a minute. I'm not talking to her for a minute. We need to go to counseling. We need to figure something out. And so it's about 4 weeks of me having horrible, awful panic attacks, asking her more questions and her reassuring me like, no, like I promise it's not her. I don't want to be open. Like it was just a fleeting thing. And then it turned into, you know, I was just curious about the poly stuff. I don't think I want to actually do it. And then it was, well, actually, if I think about it, you know, have you ever considered it? Like, is it really such a big deal to maybe like casually see other people? So as time goes on, she starts kind of like soft launching the idea. And I keep telling her, I'm like, if that's something you want out of your life, you go do that. I'm not going to do that. If you want to be open, I'm not going to be married to you. Like, I want you to have everything that you want in life, but I'm not going through that. And so after these conversations, she admits she wants to explore the open thing. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to participate in that. But I was like, I love you enough to compromise with you. If you move out of this house and we like stop talking, I will give you up to a year to casually see other people away from me and figure out if this is what you really want. I'm willing to stick it out for like a trial period while you go do that. And if you come back and say, yep, that's not for me, then I was like, we can work on this. But if you do decide, like, I think I can't go back to being monogamous, then sure. Like, we'll just get divorced. It would fucking suck, but I'm going to let you live your life. So this is the agreement that we come to. And of course, it's like really emotional and just really complicated. And around this time, as my wife is like trying to figure out the logistics of like moving out, there was a period where her parents travel a lot. And usually we would go house sit for them. I mean, this would be like days or like a week at a time. And we had a house sitting coming up for her parents. And I'm like, okay, how about this? You go stay at your parents alone. I'm like, you talk to our friends, figure out where you're going to move. Like, let's take some space. You go do that on your own. And I told her, I was like, however, you're not moved out. You're just staying at your parents. Like, this is a little mini vacation. I was like, please, like, no dating apps, no this or that. Like, this is not the time for you to see people. This is time for you to figure out where you're going to go and how we're going to do this. And she was like, yes, absolutely. So we agreed to this. I was like, until your stuff is out of this house, not seeing anybody, like, don't play that game with me. So a few days into the house sitting, we agreed to meet up after a couple days. Like, we were going to go to a movie or like do something like cute. And so I tell her, I'm like, hey, I'll be there to pick you up at 7. She's like, perfect. Totally cool. So I show up at like 6:45. I'm like 10, 15 minutes early. And when I come in the door, my wife is like, what are you doing here? Irate as fuck. And she's like, what are you doing here? Oh, you're just going to show up like 15 minutes early and not even tell me that you were on the way? She was like, did you even text me? And I was like, whoa. I was like, why are you talking to me like that? Like, what is going on? And like, I'm concerned because I'm like, she's never talked to me like this before. Like, she's mad at me. So finally I'm asking her over and over. I'm like, babe, like, what is going on? And she stops being mad. And she cracks and she is like, I have to tell you something. And she tells me the reason that she was mad is because she had just had a girl over minutes before that and thought I was like trying to catch her or that I knew. She was like, you swear you didn't know? And I was like, no, what? And she was like, I had a girl over. And I was like, just now? And she like nodded. Don't even remember what I said, but just was losing my mind. And like, I'm chasing her around the house. She's chasing me because like, I'm trying to leave. We get out in the yard. I'm screaming. Like, there's the neighbors are out because they hear this and they're like looking at us. Like, I think someone's going to call the cops. I like get in my car to leave and she gets in with me and we're both screaming at each other. Like, she's like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, oh my God, like, this isn't what you think it is. And I ask her, I'm like, tell me right now, was this Linda? And she's like, no, what the hell? She's like, this was some random girl from Tinder. And I was like, I don't know if that's better or worse. I was like, do you not remember what you said to me 3 days ago that you weren't going to do this until you moved out? And she goes, what? I thought this was a trial run. I don't remember saying that I wasn't going to see anyone while I was here. I thought this was like my chance to start exploring it. And I was like, don't, like, you are actually lying to me right now. Like, this is insane. Either that or you're an idiot. Somehow she talks me down and she's like, I'm so sorry. I misunderstood. Please don't hate me. Stay here with me tonight. I'll make this up to you. Like, stay here with me. I love you. So I like drive back to the house, screaming the whole fucking way, scream my way back with my little overnight bag. And I stay with her and like, it's emotional and we're crying. And she's like, I love you. I love you. Like, blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, I can't believe this. So finally she moves out like a week or so after that. We've come back from this. I'm like, okay, I'll believe you that it was a misunderstanding, whatever. So we come back from this and I'm assuming now that she's moved out that she's like meeting girls on Tinder. You know, we agree to take some space and talk less, but I reiterate to her, I'm like, please don't date my friends. I was like, if this is about Linda, you can tell me and we can go from there. But like, you're assuring me it's not. And I just want to make sure that's true. And she's like, no, absolutely not. Like, don't even like her. Think she's ugly. Think she's annoying. Whatever. So as my wife moves out, I reach out to Linda and I'm like, hey, thank you for letting me have this time. Like, I still want to be friends with you. And she's like, girl, absolutely. She was like, I love that we were getting closer. I love this so much for us. Like, you know, we should hang out now that you've had your time. Like, let's please hang out. And I was like, yes, absolutely. So I'm messaging her, like trying to make plans for a couple weeks in a row, but she keeps like putting me off, which is weird for her. Like, she's always on her phone. She's always out seeing people. We always went out as a group, but she keeps kind of like swerving me. And I think I'm being crazy at first, but after a couple weeks, I ask her, I'm like, hey, this is really awkward, but I'm getting the sense that you don't want to be friends with me now. Like, what's going on there? And she's like, you know, now that I've thought about it, I'm really uncomfortable with what happened a couple of months ago. I know I said I wanted to be friends still, but I just don't think I can handle it. Like, I think it's best if maybe you and I like don't talk anymore. And so that sucked, but I was like, sure, understandable. Like, this whole thing is messy. And so this hurts my feelings. And I tell my wife, like one of the times that we're catching up, I'm like, man, isn't it so crazy that Linda said this? Like, I'm kind of like blindsided. And my wife is like, honestly, Linda, she is so immature, so annoying, so disrespectful. Like, you shouldn't even want to be friends with someone like that. Like, fuck her. Who cares? And I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, you know what? Sure. You're right. Period. Like, I'll try to get over it. Again, wife and I are still taking some space. Like, a couple more weeks go by. In the midst of this, we have our belated honeymoon coming up because we had to delay it for 2 years because of COVID. So we have this 2-week trip to Japan looming over us where we're like, we're assuming it's going to be like really romantic and a nice time for us to like reconnect. And I'm thinking again, you know, this isn't about my friend. Like, she's trying to explore herself. She's struggling with addiction. Like, this will be a good time for us to like reconnect.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I'm thinking things are like going really good. And I'm asking like, you know, it's been a few weeks now. How are you feeling? Like, do you still want to explore the open thing or like what? And she's being like really cagey and like not wanting to like divulge too much. And eventually I'm like, okay, like you're not being very honest about this. Like, what's going on? And again, she hits me with the, I have to tell you something. And I'm like, great. She tells me that she is seeing Linda. She was like, we're seeing each other. We've been seeing each other for like 3 weeks. And I said, 3 weeks? I was like, so you mean 7 days ago when Linda said she didn't want to be friends with me anymore and you said that she was a disrespectful, annoying bitch, that you guys had been talking and seeing each other? And she's like, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. So you both think I'm stupid. Lose my mind. Not as bad as the first time, but I'm yelling. I'm like, why is it so hard for you to be honest with me? Like, have I not shown you my capacity for empathy and like understanding? Why do you continue to do this? And I was like, also, what is Linda on? Why would she lie about that? And so I asked, I was like, so you've been seeing each other, huh? I was like, have you slept with her? And she was like, no, we haven't even met up. We've just been texting, but we confirmed that like we confessed feelings for each other. And it's been like a couple weeks now. And I think I do want to date her. I want to see what that's like. So I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. But again, in the midst of all this, she's still saying, you're the one I'm in love with. Like, I don't know what it is about her. Like, cause I don't like her, this, that. But she was like, I feel the need to explore this. Like, so just please don't hate me. Like, please still give me some time. We can't refund the tickets or anything. And I still want to go to Japan. So I'm like, you know what? Fine, sure. And she's like laying it on thick for the next couple of weeks, being like, oh my God, I'm so excited to go with you. She's like, we're like texting, but you know, we haven't seen each other like that, you know, whatever. So like a few days go by, it's really rough. And now I'm finally starting to tell people what is happening because for the past 2 months, since this happened in December, we're now in March. I haven't told a single soul what has been going on because I'm afraid that when I'm like, hey, my wife is doing all these horrible things, everyone's gonna be like, okay, well, we fucking hate your wife. Like, what? Leave her. And I was like, if we can manage to come back from this, I don't wanna like ruin her like reputation and her relationship with everyone. So again, still trying to like protect her. I digress. So I'm starting to tell people like what's been happening, and my wife is getting mad at me that I'm telling people. She's like, we're coming up on this trip and like, and now you're telling people what's going on. She's like, are you trying to make me look bad? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, I just have to talk to someone about this because I still haven't been able to find a therapist. We found her one, but I was like struggling. So she's angry at me for opening up to people about what's happening. As the trip gets closer, she switches up on me again. She's reaching out more. She's showing up in the middle of the night at the house that we lived in together previously, like after being with Linda, like they would go out on a date or they would hook up, and my wife would show up at the house, like crying drunk, being like, this is a huge mistake. Like, I don't know what's going on. She's like, the more I see Linda, the more I realize that you're the one that I want. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And of course, this is really validating for me. So, like, I keep asking her, I'm like, okay, so when are you gonna stop this? Like, what's the plan here? But she says it's complicated, just like, let me figure out how to let her down easy, or let's let a little more time go by. Oh, it's time for the trip. She's texting Linda like on the way to the airport, the entire 15-hour flight. Like, and she's saying, she's like, oh, don't worry. I'm just like giving her as much attention as I can so that I can pay attention to you while we're on vacation. And I'm like, sure, whatever. So we finally get there, and it is exactly what we thought it was. Like, it was super romantic. Like, we were connecting again. And she's telling me all of these horrible things about Linda. She's like, she's really bad in bed. Like, her body grosses me out. Linda's like weirdly into anal and like, it just grosses me out. Like, telling me crazy stuff about this girl that I'm technically friends with. And I was like, damn. Okay. And she was like, again, she's not funny. She's not interesting. Like, all we talk about is sports and then we have bad sex. What am I doing? And I was like, okay. So again, are you going to stop seeing her? And she's like, well, I still kind of want to see where it goes, but like, I don't think it's going to last. So I'm like, okay, great. Awesome. Meanwhile, on this trip, while she's saying these things to me, I see her phone and she's texting Linda, like, my God, like, I miss you so much. I can't wait to be back so we can lay down together and I can just look in your eyes. Like, that's a quote. That's one that I remember. She's like, I can't wait to lay down with you and like look in your eyes. And then she turns around at me and she's like, oh God, yeah, her boobs are like gross. I'm like, what's going on? So we get back from the trip and I'm like, why are you telling me one thing about how you don't like her, but then you're still seeing her doing all these things? Like, make it make sense. And she, like, we get in this huge fight because she's like, stop nagging me. I'm telling you, it's complicated, like, rah, rah, whatever. So we stop talking for a few more weeks. They keep seeing each other. I'm trying to keep it together. Eventually, you know, my wife and I, we get back on speaking terms, like trying to catch up. And of course, she's saying again, like, she wants to leave Linda. If I'll take her back, she's done with it for real this time. And now that's been months at this point. And so I'm telling her, I don't know if we can come back from this. Like, you've done so much and you've been saying and doing all these horrible things for like 6 months now. I don't know if I can trust you. Like, you haven't even left her and you're asking for me to take you back when you don't even have the balls to like break up with her. I'm like, what's going on here? So as we're trying to figure this out, we're getting closer. She's saying she'll do whatever she can to make it up to me. It's now June of 2023. So it's been like 6 months of all of this. We're having one of these talks and randomly I'm like, you know, back in February when you were at your parents, you said you had a girl over. I was like, was that actually Linda? And she goes, yeah, it was. She was like, I told you it was some random girl, but it was her. And I was like, and remember when like you told me like you didn't have sex with whoever that was that night, you hadn't had sex with Linda, you know, when you guys were like hiding from me. Did you hook up like that night? She was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, we were having sex like that whole time. Girl, I lost my mind. Again, not cute. Called her every name in the book. Like I told her, I was like, you're washed up. Your hair is thinning. You do have a beer gut. Like I would every insecurity she had where she'd be like, do you think my band is lame? Or she'd be like, do you think my hairline's receding? I'd be like, oh my God, baby, no, you're so hot and talented and amazing because I love her. Yeah. And so I was like, you're untalented. You're balding. You have a beer gut. Everyone makes fun of you behind your back because your fucking music is cringe. I was like, fuck you. Like, you're insane. I don't know what I'm doing. And I go downstairs and like, again, they've been seeing each other for weeks. I go downstairs and I like find this like ceramic, like Starbucks limited edition cup of Linda's like in her car. And I go out in the driveway and I like smash it to pieces. And I go back inside and I'm like, okay, you go clean that up. Maybe slit your wrists while you're out there with the glasses in the driveway. And you go tell Linda right now what happened. You tell her why her little cup is smashed and why I'm about to come for her ass. Like I lost my mind. Not cute. And she's like crying, being like, please don't make me leave like this. So finally she gets out and the next 2 months are bad. Like we go through the divorce. It finalizes in August. So it takes about, you know, 2-3 months. We go back and forth between like being civil and then fighting like fucking animals when we have to talk. And then on the day of the divorce, you know, we go to the courthouse, we meet up and like stupidly, because again, this is like such a mess. We end up kissing after like a really emotional conversation. I know, girl, I know. Yeah, it's really bad. So I'm like, we have some drinks. I'm super emotional. We end up kissing and then acknowledge that like, we're still in love. Unfortunately, I am still in love with her. Despite all these horrible things and the fact that I know we can't be together, I still feel for her. But we're like, we absolutely cannot be together after all of this. So the divorce is finalized. She and Linda make it official. So over the next few weeks, she's hitting me up, like talking about meeting up. And I'm like, but you guys are together and I'm in a bad place. And so we're communicating. Like, it's so weird. Linda doesn't know that this is happening. So finally, my wife tells her, she's like, hey, I know that, you know, Rhi and I are divorced and everything, but like, it's complicated. We're still kind of communicating. And Linda's like, well, you better cut that out because you're with me now. So that's basically cheating. So we're like, whoa, okay, gotcha. So a few weeks goes by and wife is like, hey, or ex-wife, she's like, hey, we can't talk anymore. This really sucks. Have a good life. And I'm like, okay, word, whatever. Somehow, a couple weeks later, she's messaging me again. We're communicating again. And now my ex-wife is like, you know what? Linda can't tell me what to do. After the holidays, I'm going to tell her that I'm going to talk to you. And if she has a problem with it, we can break up. Whatever. She calls it ruining Christmas because she was like, I'll do it like after the holidays. Like, I don't want to ruin Christmas. And like her granddad just died, so I can't do it now. Like, heartless, crazy. So finally, she ruins Christmas. They talk and Linda, of course, like freaks out. She's like, you literally said you were going to stop talking to her and now you're doing it again. And you're asking me again if it's okay. She's like, well, then I guess we're going to break up. And so my ex-wife chickens out and she's like, you know what? All right, Rhi, I really have to stop talking to you this time. Have a good life, whatever. So it's now the beginning of 2024. We still end up talking, girl. She is still texting me. I am still like testing the waters. Girl, it's nonsense.
Horrified. I'm horrified.
Bad. So this is now round 3 of my ex-wife cheating on Linda, basically with me still after the divorce. For my birthday in March, she takes me to dinner, gets me a gift, which was a framed photo of us from our trip to Japan. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, what? Huh? I'm like, okay, that's like nice, I guess. But like, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm an idiot. And so the night of my birthday, like, you know, she takes me out to dinner or whatever. And now it's getting bad. Like, we don't kiss or anything like that. Like, we hug. And she says to me, she's like, okay, you need to leave before I do something I regret. So we're very much in like emotional cheating territory. Like, it's going bad. I don't think Linda knows about this to this day. Like, I don't think she knows about any of that. But it went on for like a couple months. So then finally, I meet someone. We become official in like May of 2024. So I tell the roster, like I tell the other girls that I was talking to, and I tell my ex-wife, I'm like, hey, it's finally happened. Like, I've met someone, they're great. I think I can finally let you go. Like, you are literally ruining my life. I'm finally ready to move on. So we do that and it sticks this time. We don't talk. So before that though, she said something crazy. She was like, oh, like I'm happy for you. But like, if I knew that your birthday was going to be my last chance, like I would have made a move on you one last time. Like, I would have tried to hit like one last time. Like, if I'd known that, damn, fuck. So I'm like, you're kidding me. So I'm like, right. Gotcha. So like more than a year goes by, like we're going on 2 years. Miraculously, we don't talk. We don't run into each other. It's a small town, but somehow by the grace of God, we don't see each other. We don't talk. Like everything is going so good with me and my partner. And then in the fall of 2025, so again, it's like a year and a half, almost 2 years later, I go out with my friends. And in the bar, I see my ex-wife and Linda, like still together. They're there at this thing. And I'm not going to ignore them. So I go up to them. We make small talk, like things are amicable. And like, I'm feeling good about it. I like tell my friends, I'm like, I'm okay. Don't worry. Like, it's all good, blah, blah, blah. And then a few hours later, I get a text from like a deleted number, but I know her number by heart. Like my ex-wife texts me and she texts me like the title of a song and the lyrics are about running into an ex and not being over it and like missing them. So it's clearly my ex-wife. So this sends me spiraling. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like it just put me in like such a weird, like fucked up headspace, like reigniting the trauma bond because like, you know, she's the one who literally hurt me and ruined my life. But then she was also the person that I was looking for validation from because I wanted her to pick me, choose me, love me, please. Like, so that did a number on me. And so like we message for a minute and I'm like, look, we can't do this. Like, I'll acknowledge that I still feel very deeply for you, probably because I'm so fucking traumatized that like my attachment to you is cosmic. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, we can't do this. We're both moved on. We're in relationships. Like, honestly, thank God her and Linda managed to make it work for so long because I would have been pissed if they did all this for nothing. You've got to be kidding me. Like, we can't do this. We're like, we wish things didn't happen the way they did, but we are not good for each other. And like, we have to move on. And so things with my most recent partner didn't work out. This is back this most recent January. Didn't really work out. They're a great person, but you know, it just, I didn't want to waste anyone's time anymore. And so we've separated. And since then, guess who's back again. And so admittedly there have been a couple of times where we have talked, she's like asked to meet up with me, and again I'm like, what is this? Like, what are we doing? What are you doing? Linda has no idea. And my ex-wife is basically just like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna have this problem forever, and like I want to be a changed person and I'm trying to be better, but what'll you do? It's just, it's pure mess. But actually, I don't know. We're coming up on time, but I'll let you know. Since this has happened and I decided to share the story on social media, and I'll thank Wellbutrin for this. I'll thank being like appropriately medicated because like I feel like I've unlocked 110% of my brain power. I've realized, like, we stopped talking weeks ago because I was like, this is idiotic. This is so shitty of me. And I was like, I need to talk about this. Like, no one really knows the full story because I didn't want to like shit on her too much. I was hiding it from my friends, my partner, Linda. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to say it. And so something overcame me and I posted about it on TikTok. I knew it was going to get attention because it's a crazy story, but it's getting intense. So it blew up on the internet and it's like getting around our friend circle, which I was fully prepared for. And so I decided, I was like, you know what? I don't know how much Linda knows or doesn't know, but I'm going to make sure that I do my part in informing her. So I took screenshots of every conversation, every meetup, every email, and sent it to her from the last few months. I sent it to her and was like, I just want to make sure you have the full picture here, because I fully acknowledge that she's also a victim of my ex-wife, like manipulating and lying to her. I can't even imagine what my ex-wife told Linda about me to convince her to like stay after all the horrible things that she said about Linda and that everyone was telling her. Like, it was pure insanity. So I posted on the internet to just get it all out there in her screenshots. And now I'm just like, I feel like this is what a Buddhist monk would feel like, just being like fully unloaded and like enlightened. I'm like, I feel weightless.
I know. And the sun's hitting you just right now. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I'm like transcending. It's been pure insanity. But at this juncture, I feel so much better, like acknowledging it and being honest about it after letting this freak washed up rock star run my life for going on 10 years now. Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
Well, what has the aftermath been like with your friends? Like, how are they responding to you being public about it?
Luckily, my friends, I could probably kill somebody with my bare hands, and my friends would be like, they definitely deserved it for some reason. Like, don't worry, girl, we got you. We support women's rights and wrongs so in this true. House. Absolutely. So my friends have been so supportive of even me like regressing and backsliding and some of my like deepest, darkest, most like troubled thoughts about this situation. They have empathy for me, and I cannot thank them enough for that, because of course I'm very hard on myself, as I should be. I feel like more people probably should be. My therapist definitely has had things to say. So yeah, we're working on that. But luckily my friends are like, honestly, we can't believe that you kept it to yourself for so long. Like, we're so sorry that you were going through that alone and that you felt ashamed and you were trying to protect this person who was hurting you so bad. But there's balance between that and also being like, okay, girl, stand up. Like, what are we doing? So now that I've come clean, they're like, this is good. Like, yeah, we feel good about this.
Why did you keep it to yourself for so long?
When my ex-wife and I were together, I kept it to myself because I didn't want people to think differently of her, especially if it was something we were going to come back from. And then I also, after, you know, going back to her so many times and engaging with her when I knew it was wrong, I was ashamed of the fact that I caved to that. I was feeling very guilty about being so weak of character that I fell back into that. But I'm trying to have grace for myself in the sense of understanding that, like, that was a really, like, deeply troubling, like, trauma that she put me through, like, going back and forth so many times and, you know, her actions not aligning with her words and confusing me so much. Like, I'm trying to be a little gentler with myself about that, but definitely have a lot of shame and regret around allowing myself to fall back into that so many times and like act out of character. So navigating that still, but luckily we love therapy so much.
Shout out to your therapist. Exactly. They do the real work.
Yeah, props to her.
Props to her and props to you, because I mean, that's still a difficult thing to go through. And I know having, you know, you go through the experience and you learn and you grow and you become better for it. We're so happy for that. But if you could keep all the good parts of that situation, but still have the ability to go back and do it differently, if you would have, at what point would you have gone back and done things differently, and how would you have done it?
I think I would have put my foot down when my ex-wife fully expressed that she wanted to explore something open. I was wishfully thinking. I was like, okay, she's expressing this to me, but she's not sure. So I bet I can bring her back, or I bet she's going to come back around. And I should have had the resolve to acknowledge that, like, if she even wants to go so far as to suggest that, then that means she has something that she needs to explore, so that I don't get hurt and she doesn't feel held back. I think that's where a lot of the miscommunication came from, because I was letting her run in the streets and like see Linda and do all these things, because I was like, but she's just an addict. Like, she'll come back around. Like, I'm pretty cool. Like, I think it'll be all right. But I should have had enough respect for both of us to be the strong one and say, this really sucks, but this means it has to end. Like, you need to do that fully independently of me. Our lives are going in two different directions, but I just, like, I wasn't ready for that yet.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, another year of madness ensued, because I just didn't have the strength at that point. So that's the thing that I would have stood on business for.
Is your ex-wife seeking treatment for, I'm assuming the proper term for this is addictive behavior? Like, it just seems like she's addicted to the high of anything.
Yes. So she's also been in therapy since all of this started. I found her therapist for her before I got myself one. And she's been seeing the same person from what I understand, and has made a lot of progress in acknowledging, you know, where she went wrong here and where a lot of these behaviors come from. It still doesn't fix the fact that she indulges in them and still does it. But to her credit, she is definitely like putting in the work in that sense. But then we still find ourselves doing this.
Yep.
Except for most recently.
What is your relationship to your ex-wife now?
Now we are officially dead to each other.
Do you have no communication?
Yes. Okay. So now that, especially since I've hard launched the full story on the internet and it's getting around, I think she, and rightfully so, I think she had the idea that, you know, I would always kind of be on the fringe of her availability, because that's how I made myself for our whole relationship. And then even after the relationship ended, like, I was weak and I made myself available to her because of, like, the horrible conflicting feelings I had. And so now that I'm clear-headed and I've had the strength to take accountability for what I've done here, and that I want to stop that. I mean, there's no better way to stop talking to your ex and make sure there's no way of getting back together than going scorched earth and blasting her publicly.
Because now the whole internet is holding you accountable. They're like, you do not do it. Please don't.
Exactly. So now I can't go back even if I wanted to, because yeah, the whole world rightfully would burn me at the stake. As they should.
How are you dating and moving in relationships now? Like, are you finding it difficult to trust people? How are you managing the whole thing?
Strangely, I feel like I don't have any trust issues. I fully acknowledge that those issues were like isolated to her because of her problems and her behaviors and all of those things. My most recent partner, you know, obviously that ended, but not for like a lack of them being a great person. They honestly showed me that like true love is out there. Like, we can come back from something like this. We ended up being incompatible in some ways that like really mattered, but I feel more confident in myself now, having gone through that and understanding where I need to put my foot down and what is unacceptable. And I don't inherently distrust people because I'm like, that was her problem. That was my ex-wife's demons. I'm not attributing that to anyone else, but I definitely have a better eye for red flags, if you will.
Okay, what's your first sign that something is amiss?
I think the thing that puts me off is any kind of avoidant behavior. Very, again, words not aligning with actions. So things like, oh my God, like, oh, you're so cool. Like, I want to see you so bad. Like that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. If that's what we're trying to do. And then, you know, I don't get talked to for a couple days. Or the opposite. Sometimes it's like, okay, I really want to keep this casual. Like, you know, we're both on the same page about not wanting to get too involved. And then I feel like I'm getting like love bombed. And I'm like, whoa, like, okay, like you're saying one thing and doing another. I'm like, there's something like disorganized happening in your head. And that concerns me. Mm-hmm. About like how this is going to go. If you aren't sure what you want and how you're going to execute that, I think you need to be a little bit more organized before we go there.
How, for the people that have listened to your story online, has anyone reached out to you with a similar experience? And I'm curious what the feedback or some of the responses you're hearing from those people are.
So many people in the comments, also in my DMs, like so many super sweet people have reached out and said, I can't believe I'm not the only one who has gone through this. Like almost verbatim. And of course, it's other queer people, it's straight people. Everyone is expressing like, I went through this too. And like, you should not feel bad. Or thank God it wasn't just me. Like, I thought I was the only loser that fell for this and went back and did all of these things. And so that has been, again, such a relief because I have been so hard on myself about it. But then also the people who are saying, girl, stand up, or like, please know your worth before you get into another relationship. I'm like, you're right. Absolutely. Like, thank you also to everyone who's being harsh and saying like, this is unacceptable. Like, I can't believe you went through that. Like, for yourself, like have some self-respect. I'm like, you're absolutely right. But overall, like the feedback has been so supportive and like everyone's like commiserating. It is a relief for sure.
It's kind of weird, like the beautiful community that'll come out from a shared miserable experience. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why this podcast has been around for so long. So for the people that haven't been through this, but clearly will because other people are going through it as well, what's the advice that you would give somebody if they find themselves in a relationship like this?
Don't stay in a relationship because you see someone's potential to change or be better. You know, you can have so much love and empathy for someone and want to support them through everything because you think or you feel that they could get over their demons and overcome these things. But until that has happened, you should not be responsible for staying in that situation and putting yourself in jeopardy. Like, because at that point, you're disrespecting yourself and this person by putting these expectations on them. If they're just not ready, or if they're not developed enough to be what you need, you have to look at the relationship as it is and this person as they are and decide if this is enough. You can't stay with potential. It never works.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.